future.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we have Josh Stevens, who's the Vice President of Technology for SolarWinds. Josh, we're going to talk about IPv6. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Everyone in the world here in Washington, D.C. is bombarded with cloud this and cloud that. You go to 7-Eleven, they talk about the cloud computing, and you're bombarded with it. But I think people should maybe take a step back and realize that one way that we can implement the cloud is through IPv6. It may be an advantage, could be a disadvantage. I thought we'd take and do a little deep dive in IPv6 and talk about some tools and the federal presence in that general area. But before we begin, I'd like to a little bit more about you, and tell us about your background in SolarWinds, please.
Well, we started SolarWinds because we saw a gap in the market for really easy-to-use applications and tools for IT professionals. We were doing consulting at the time, the founders and I, and we were out there and just saw that, you know, the people we worked with and for ourselves, we needed better tools to do our jobs. So we wanted to start a company to do that. And I've been here for a long, long time now, for 11 years, helping run the company. And my role is really to sort of be an evangelist for the technology and really sort of an ambassador for the IT professional community to help find better ways to enable them to do their jobs and to help advance their careers and just really help IT professionals all over the world.
Well, let's go back in time. You went back 12 years. Let's go back 34 years. Vint Cerf was in the studio here last year. Did an interview with him. 34 years ago, he looked at this crazy thing and he said, well, let's come up with 4.3 billion addresses. That'll never be used. We'll come up with a 30-bit naming technique. Now, at the time, some people wanted 128-bit, but everyone said, 128-bit, that's really crazy. 4.3 billion is crazy enough. And so they stuck with that. Now we're running out of space with 4.3 billion. Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible, and you know, the interesting thing about IPv6 is that if we would have started with the 128-bit addressing schema, you know, it wouldn't be hard to learn. It's actually an easier mechanism to learn from a technology perspective. Where it gets complicated is we're all accustomed to the 32-bit scheme, so trying to translate and think about it both ways is really sort of difficult. But yeah, it is sort of amazing. But when you think about the fact that, you know, the internet is in such broad use all over the world, and the number of IP addresses per user has gone up so significantly that it's no wonder that we're out. We have to be thinking about IPv6.
It's amazing. The last quarter of 2010, more smartphones were sold than personal computers. I'm sure Vint Cerf never would have predicted that. I couldn't have predicted that last year.
No, absolutely not. Nor could you have predicted that in your house, you know, your phone, your TV, your Blu-ray machine, your iPod, you know, all these things have their own IP address. And more with mobile users and, you know, as much as I travel personally, I need to access those devices from all over the world. So I really need a routable public IP address when I'm trying to get to them.
So the transition here is obvious. I think most of my listeners know what's going on. We're running out of addresses, got to move to a new addressing scheme. The leader in town here, Vivek Kundra, he has a federal mandate for all my federal IT professionals who are listening. By the end of the fiscal year 2012, he got to move the external sites, you know, web, email, and ISP to IPv6 at the end of 2014's fiscal year. You got to do the internal client applications, got to make the transition. So my listeners have maybe not a gun to their head, but their feet are getting held close to the fire.
Yeah, I mean, as you're probably aware, a few weeks ago, it's been about a month and a half, you know, IANA officially issued the last 2/8s for IPv4, which means, you know, there are no more large-scale public IPv4 addresses to be allocated to new service providers and things of that nature. And it's interesting what you said about, you know, the requirement to change the outbound side or the infrastructure side on the edge by 2012. Because the real work comes in changing those applications on the inside. You know, readdressing your routers and switches and enabling IPv6 on the infrastructure side is a really just a drop in the bucket compared to the effort required to upgrade all of your applications to be sure they fully support IPv6.
Now, I'm sure that in my office and several offices around town here, there's some person who's got a spreadsheet or a bunch of bar napkins or something where they're trying to figure out this transition, and that's where SolarWinds comes in. It provides a tool that'll say, hey, you don't need bar napkins to figure out your addresses. You can actually use a tool to make life easy for you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. We actually started writing these applications on bar napkins.
Bar napkins.
And I think it was Jason's Deli we were at over sandwiches and on the little cocktail napkins. But it's come a long way since then. And, you know, really there are a lot of tools. Yes, SolarWinds has both free tools and paid tools for helping people with IP address management and the transition from IPv4 to IPv6. But, you know, really when you think about it, if you're in any modern network today, you're probably already running some IPv6, whether you realize it or not. You know, when you turn on a Windows 7 machine, it has IPv6 on by default. And so if you aren't effectively managing that and securing that traffic today, then you're really already pretty far behind the curve.
Josh, let me ask you a question. What is the penetration? I mean, it's hard for me to get a real feel for this penetration. It seems pretty small. What is the, for top-level domains, what is it around, 1%, half a percent?
Oh, yeah, it's less than 1%. You know, if you were to say today that you were only going to use IPv6 from today forward, there'd be very little you could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some of the webs, Google has an IPv6 website you can use. You know, some of the other platforms have done tests recently, you know, Yahoo did a test and Cisco did a test, but there isn't a lot out there. There aren't even a lot of DNS servers that are available to allow you to resolve an IPv6 address to a name and vice versa. So, you know, it's not the kind of thing where you want to run out and say, oh, I want to convert everything to IPv6 today. But it is the kind of thing where you want to have a plan, you want to start getting familiar with the technology. And, you know, as an IT professional, the best way to learn any of these technologies is to start using it. Even if it's in your home or some small, you know, test or lab network, you have to start using the technology daily for it to become a part of really, you know, just your ease of mind, something you can actually access and use without having to think about it. You know, IPv4 addressing for most of us is something that we don't really think about anymore. We do CIDR in our head, you know, we do subnet allocation in our heads. And, you know, if you've been doing it as a network engineer, if you've been out there very long, you've probably got a couple hundred IP addresses memorized, you know, that you've had to give out and use over time. It'll be the same in IPv6. It'll just take a while.
We'll have to take a break when you get back. We'll talk more about IPv6 Day coming up in June and actually doing a stress test. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Josh Stevens, Vice President of Technology from SolarWinds.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Josh Stevens, Vice President of Technology from SolarWinds. We're talking about the big change, the big transition to IPv6. And SolarWinds has been in the area of working with tools for network administrators for a long time. And that's why I wanted to bring him in and talk to our listeners about some of these changes and everything else. Now, we were talking during the break, and you know, you really can't go out there and get any certification in IPv6 knowledge, can you? I mean, I guess if you play around with Cisco switches, you're probably going to know. But traditionally, you get a certification. You know, okay, you'd know a router, you'd know some kind of protocol, but there's no way to really get training on this, is there?
You know, there aren't any certifications on IPv6 today. I would expect those to be coming out pretty soon. But when you think about it, there really aren't any certifications on IPv4 either. It's such a fundamental of basic technology. Understanding IP addressing, it really has to be part of your DNA as a network engineer. So, you know, it's one of those things that you're going to have to learn through going to seminars and training and by getting your hands dirty every day for a long time until it becomes second nature. And then, of course, the certifications like Cisco's programs that you mentioned, you know, they'll adapt over time to where they assume that IPv6 fundamentals, but today it's mostly IPv4-based.
Yeah, when I first started studying this, taking my Security Plus test, I was really confused about VLANs. And most of the network folks I know, they say, well, it's like automatic transmission versus a stick. Once you're in a stick, then you just keep going. There's no problem at all, is there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are the types of technologies that, and IPv6 is a great example as well, that they sound complicated, but, you know, once you really kind of peel back a couple layers, they're really not. They're really quite simple. And IPv6 is a very elegant solution. It's, in many ways, much easier to deploy and manage than IPv4. But it will take a little while for people to adjust to thinking about things in the IPv6 flavor.
Let's think about Vivek Kundra and his targets here, 2012 and 2014. A complete transition to native IPv6, is that too aggressive?
Yeah, it probably is. You know, I think that those deadlines are set to force people to start moving in that direction, and they're probably set with the expectation that they'll be reset and extended later.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to convert any application in your organization purely to IPv6 over the next, you know, 18 months is going to be really, really difficult. Now, you know, having the ability to run dual stack addresses on the edge is really important. Having the ability to secure your IPv6 on the inside is really important. But it's going to be a slow transition because, for the most part, you only need IPv6 addresses on the public side of a large network. You know, NAT technologies have come a long way over the last few years, and you can get by with NAT in most of those scenarios. So it's a really hard investment decision for most organizations to start investing in the changes needed for IPv6 when they can get by with IPv4 for some indeterminate amount of time.
You know, my crystal ball says that the push to IPv6 may be more for public safety than anything else, because there's just a whole lot better security with IPv6, isn't there?
There is. The security is a lot better. The administration's a lot easier. There are a lot of advantages to IPv6. The difficulty is that there are a lot of applications out there that were written without any thought at all to being able to change underlying protocols down the road. And it's those applications that you're really going to have to think about. You know, the infrastructure side, your OS on your server or your PC or your desktop machine, maybe you're using an iPad or whatever, you know, your routers, your switches, your firewalls, you know, those are one piece of software, one operating system per type of device. But if you've got some internal CRM system or an e-commerce application or, you know, whatever those systems are that you've written internally, every single application that uses a network, which is every application today, will have to be touched for IPv6 compatibility.
And increasingly going to be reached through a virtualized server as well, huh?
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
How does this integrate with virtualization?
Well, I mean, most of the virtual technologies out there have some IPv6 support today. But what we've learned is that with VMware, for instance, and they're, you know, the leader in that space, while their server technology is quite robust and mature, their networking technology tends to follow a couple of steps behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so they partnered with companies like Cisco. And today, if you deploy a VMware ESX server, you can replace the built-in virtual switch with a Cisco virtual switch that then has a more robust network support. And then those support IPv6. So there are ways around it. But again, you know, it's the edge where things really get hairy. If you're using, public cloud, for instance, you know, you can't imagine that those providers, Rackspace and Amazon and those guys, will be able to continue providing virtual machine resources to a very large number of customers without moving to IPv6 fairly quickly, because they have a requirement for a public addressing scheme, and that is just too much of a headache in that type of environment. So those are the types of services that will force you to be able to at least run, you know, dual stack mode in your environment.
And I think that's really the transition is going to be dual stack here. That seems to be that's the compromise. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, that's the compromise. But it doesn't really make it a lot easier, because you're still running IPv6. It's just that you have an IPv4 fallback.
You know, we talked about VLANs earlier, and you just talked about virtual switches. You know, 10 years ago, I never would have dreamed of a virtual switch. I guess never would have dreamed of all this virtualization. I would think that the people in that environment, people like VMware, are going to embrace IPv6, you know, because it's going to make their life a whole lot easier. It should.
It does. It makes their life quite a bit easier, absolutely. If you can just use automatic addressing and not have to worry about things like DHCP or NAT, it certainly makes it easier. But it is, you know, it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve for their development teams and their administration teams. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, everybody has to sort of, it's almost like changing languages, you know, overnight. You know, one day you're speaking English, and the next day you've decided that you want to use Spanish because there are more words available. And that's the type of transition we're talking about here. It's a very different methodology and a different sort of frame of mind to be able to think in terms of 128-bit IP address.
Hey, let's take a little break here, come back, talk more about some tools we have available from SolarWinds. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Josh Stevens, Vice President of Technology from SolarWinds.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency, staffing, and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Josh Stevens, Vice President of Technology from SolarWinds. Nothing to do with telescopes, a lot to do with network management tools. Let's talk about your company a bit more, Solar, S-O-L-A-R-W-I-N-D-S. Let's say I've got a listener sitting over at the Department of Interior or maybe over at the Department of Justice, and they're kind of beating their head against the wall. They're frustrated. They're trying to make this transition move. I guess they can go to your website and maybe look at some tools or find out what you have to offer. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, if you go to SolarWinds.com, you'll find really two categories of applications available for download. First, we have a long list of free tools that are completely free. They're not limited versions of the licensed or paid products. They're just really cool free applications you can download and try and use for yourself. And a lot of organizations can get by using those free tools, so don't skip over them. Secondly, there are paid applications like our SolarWinds IP Address Manager, or IPAM. And, you know, IPAM is the type of application you would use to sort of upgrade from the spreadsheets and the manual mechanisms you're using to track IP addresses today to an automated enterprise-class system that would allow you to really start migrating and planning that migration at a minimum to over to IPv6.
I guess give you some ability to historically track an address as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. It tracks all the addresses, shows you history of who's had them over time, automatically scans to tell you which ones are available and which ones aren't, manages your DHCP servers and lets you know when, you know, you're about to run out of room within a DHCP range or scope. And, you know, one of the things that as an IT professional is a huge consumer of time is, you know, anytime a user calls and either they have a duplicate IP address or they're out of IP addresses on that subnet and you have to reallocate or readdress the subnet. You know, most people don't spend enough time doing the planning up front. And then that forces them into situations where they end up outgrowing their addressing scheme and they have to readdress constantly. And those things are great, great time consumers. So having a good IP address management planning application and management tool is a big part of saving yourself a lot of time and headache.
You know, I'm doing some remodeling in my house, and I have a spreadsheet out there, and it kind of works, you know, works fairly well. But what if my job were, you know, 8 hours a day remodeling apartment buildings all over town? I mean, I'd have to come up with a better tool than that, and I think that's what this is all about, is that the baby steps, maybe the spreadsheets are okay, but once you get in more complicated, more difficult environments, you just have to bring in the tool.
You do, and, you know, in this environment, imagine if your home or your apartment complex was so large that you had different crews working all over the place, assigning, you know, addresses or, in the analogy, building out rooms and changing things over time. Your chances are in most organizations you don't have just one person who gives out IP addresses. And so having something that everyone can share and access and work together on is really a big value.
Right now, you may try to, you know, guess for an address or maybe ping an address, try to find it. I mean, this is really manual labor to do a whole list of addresses. It's got to be confusing.
It is confusing, especially when you throw in the mix IPv6. But you're starting to think about, you know, how would you manage these things in a dual-stack mode? So assuming you're running both IPv6 and IPv4 in the same spreadsheet, do you put the same subnets in there? How do you know when they're live or not, when they're in use? And a lot of the federal government organizations I worked with, especially in the DOD, you know, I've already started designing their IPv6 networks as of, you know, several years ago, and some of those networks are live today. And so it's really important, again, that you have these tools available. Otherwise, you're going to waste a lot of time in manual tracking of these addresses when you could be doing something else that's more important.
And what about the, you know, stacking it? I mean, you have to have somewhere to figure out the two addresses, won't you?
You do. You have to have somewhere to figure it out, how to correlate them. And, you know, the goal of IPv6 is not to run dual stack long term, but to eventually get rid of IPv4. And so you've got to have this all together in one system. You need to be able to track when those IPv4 addresses are live and when they aren't, when they can be decommissioned. It's something that you just have to do. And, you know, a lot of us have gotten by for a long time with spreadsheets or free tools or even, you know, home written applications that we've done that run on a local access database or something like that. But, you know, there are solutions available from SolarWinds, and certainly there are other solutions out there as well that are affordable and easy to implement, and that didn't used to be the case. You know, 5-10 years ago, to implement an IP address management solution was a six-figure project, and they were really complicated. And today, there are much easier, more affordable solutions out there. And if it's from SolarWinds, you know, it's on the GSA schedule. It's available, you know, for any government purchaser out there, and we have a very large deployment in the Fed space. So you can feel good about the fact you're buying a solution that other Fed customers are using today.
What, 95,000 customers for your products, is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's almost 100,000 now, over 97,000 customers, and we're in 170 countries, so it's a very popular application. There are literally millions of users of our free tools out there today, so great applications.
It's good to know. So if you want more information, you can go to Solar, S-O-L-A-R, SolarWinds.com. I'm sure there's white papers there. There's tools you can download. Thousands of customers that have successfully used the technology. June 8th, 2011, IPv6 Day. Everyone's going to be testing this anyway, huh?
Absolutely. I'm pretty excited about it. We'll have to come up with something special we do here at SolarWinds for IPv6 Day. But yeah, it's a big deal. You know, the fact that we're actually starting to get people to pay attention, for those of us that are IPv6 fans and zealots, we've been talking about this for a long time. So it's nice to see it actually get some press, get some attention now, and see people start moving toward this. I wish we'd have started earlier, but it's better late than never.
Geez, I hope Google maybe changes their little splash characters there and has an IPv6 Day on June 8th. We'll have to see what they come up with.
I'd be willing to bet that they will, absolutely.
That's great. Well, thanks for the interview. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we spoke to Josh Stevens, Vice President of Technology from SolarWinds, talked about IPv6. Thank you, Josh.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
For 11 years, government leaders have gathered to explore the latest mandates and best practices at the Government Performance Summit. Today, with a major revision to the Government Performance and Results Act, there is an unparalleled opportunity to integrate analytics into better decision-making for the entire nation. Join hosts the Performance Institute, FMA, AGA, and GovEvents, April 4th through the 6th for the 11th Annual Government Performance Summit. Space is limited, so register today at governmentperformance.org.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider.
Dr. John Ford, Senior Research Psychologist for MSPB.
While most federal employees try to learn things related to their job, some try to develop skills in areas that require some pre-existing ability, things like language ability, reasoning ability, and we're looking at trying to encourage people to do some pre-assessment before they take on that kind of training so that training resources are not spent on people who are not prepared to learn.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider.